Welcome to the podcast. This week we have a guest, and this is something we're going to try and start getting going a little more often. Next week, I believe we're going to have a guest as well. So start bringing on members and different staff to chat, tell us their stories, and even just their expert, kind of their expertise area. And so this week we have Aaron Reistad. He is a member. He takes my noon class fairly often. He's been here for a little over a year. What I like to talk about, how I think we, you know, one way we kind of pulled Aaron in is Aaron came to some social events that we had before. I think he was a member. You were at our pool party, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep. So glad those have some benefit in pulling some people in. So
it's always my favorite event, the pool party.
The pool party, yeah. Yeah, that was the Hoof Harden one. That was a good time. But yeah, so we have Aaron here, and Aaron's going to, I'll pass it over to him in a second. He's going to go ahead and tell us his story, and he's got a really cool story. I watched a video all about that, and maybe we'll repost that after we post the podcast, just to kind of wrap everyone's head around it further. It was a really well done video, just wrapping, kind of it encompassed everything he's kind of been through, and showed us like how he's been able to like persevere through a disability and do CrossFit extremely well and effectively. But kind of turn it over to Aaron. He's going to tell us our story.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. Yeah, my name is Aaron Reistad, like Brandon said, and I spent the majority of my life in Colorado. And I, while there, was involved with kind of some of the stereotypical Colorado things, you know, hiking, rock climbing, skiing, snowboarding. And, you know, growing up, I was involved in a variety of athletics. I spent my whole life wrestling, got involved with track, cross country, and then in college kind of transitioned that into mixed martial arts and some longer distance running, did a few half marathons. And then after undergrad, had the opportunity to go to graduate school at Florida State. And in the first year there, I was able to run my first marathon, and then also happened to pick an apartment walking distance away from CrossFit Tallahassee. And I had heard of CrossFit before, but hadn't really known much about it, kind of had like this negative stereotype about what it was, like these CrossFitters, you know, they think they're so cool, like, you know. But as soon as I went in there and actually looked at it, I was hooked, and I, 10 years later, am still here. And, you know, for me, it was a great way to meet people in a city that I hadn't been to before, and also, you know, have great workouts that pushed me to levels that, you know, obviously I would never would on my own. And so I just fell in love with it there. And so after year one of graduate school, I drove from Florida up to Delaware, where I had an internship at the University of Delaware. And a couple weeks after getting there, began having some increased difficulty with my sight, you know, so I'd be driving around and street lights were harder to tell what the colors were. The text on my phone was harder to read, you know, text on the computer was harder to read. And so I just thought, you know, it's time that I need glasses. And, you know, I had never seen an optometrist before. I had always had 20/20 vision. So, you know, I just thought it was glasses time. And so went to the optometrist and found out that I had a swollen optic nerve, which glasses don't fix. And so from there was sent to a neurologist, and, you know, they wanted to check if I had a brain tumor or multiple sclerosis. You know, didn't end up having either of those. So then got sent to a neuro-ophthalmologist. And, you know, on July 3rd of 2014, my dad and I, you know, went through a variety of different you know, things where they were poking my eyes, dilating them, taking pictures. And finally, at the end of the day, the doctor came in and told us that I had a super rare hereditary disease known as Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy, LHON, which basically just means that my optic nerve was kind of atrophying, and that there is also no known cure for LHON. So that was incredibly difficult to hear, you know, as someone who had previously, throughout my life, anytime I'd been presented with a problem, been able to, you know, outwork it or outmedicate it or, you know, rest and get over it. And so I was finally, I was at this point being presented with this problem that that I wouldn't be able to just, you know, fix. And that was incredibly difficult to hear, you know, just in general, let alone, you know, figuring out what that meant for the rest of my life. You know, I still had half of graduate school left. I had to go back for year two. I didn't know what it meant for life after graduate school. You know, I didn't know how I was going to drive around anymore. I didn't know how I was going to do homework. I didn't know how I was going to do CrossFit or hike or snowboard. And so I had to make the decision about what to do with my life. And ultimately, you know, maybe I was in a little bit of stage of denial, but decided to return to graduate school and try and finish year two. And, you know, it was definitely the hardest year of my life, and I never would have been able to do it without all the people around me, you know, including, I used to go to the 5 a.m. class throughout grad school. And so every morning at 4:45, you know, one of my friends would come pick me up and drop me off. And, you know, it was really, you know, interesting for the CrossFit community, as well as, you know, everyone else in Florida for them to transition from this guy they'd known the year before with perfect vision and was super capable to the new kind of me, and everyone did it very seamlessly and provided a ton of support. And I was able to, you know, make it through that second year of graduate school, and, you know, been living my life ever since. You know, I got into some motivational speaking after that for a while, and then moved to Columbus about 6 years ago. Was at a couple different CrossFit gyms before joining CrossFit Grandview about a year ago, like Brandon said. And, you know, it's been a great experience here so far. I'm sure we can talk more about that, but that's kind of my story a little bit.
Wow. So first, you know, I can see it. So you might not see Kate's tearing up and crying over here, because she has some really firsthand experience with vision loss, and she
amazing what you've done. Yeah, it really
In 2017 she found out both of her retinas were detached, and then had surgery to fix those, and then one went bad, and then she lost all her vision in one eye. So she can see out of one eye. But it was, you know, it was a few years of, you know, four or five surgeries and laying face down and doing all that for a good year. And so
no one can understand how scary that is, I just lost vision in one eye, and there was, and I think we spoke at the pool party actually, and you can see shadows a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. The way I describe my sight is, like fog or frosted glass, and then with a bright light on the other side. So, you know, I can see enough to, once I know a space, get around. But, you know, when I started here a year ago, you know, I think it was probably a transition for Brandon, for other coaches to kind of understand what I needed. And I did my best to kind of help them understand that. Yep. But now I've been here for a year. I know the space.
You get around really well.
So I think it throws a lot of people off too, because I do get around well enough to where, I think a lot of people don't know. So that when they see me running, which we can talk more about, like what running looks like for me here, but on a tether with someone, I think it confuses some people, because they're like, what's that guy doing?
Yeah. 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 Because you would know, especially to someone who's casual, if you don't take their class, you know, you're not in the class with them often. Like you also move incredibly well. Like you described all that, you know, you did every athletic activity under the sun, and really hard, challenging ones too. And, you know, you Olympic lift really well, you move really well, you've got muscle ups, you're a fantastic CrossFit athlete overall. And so anyone's going to see, they're going to think you're going to have any impairment, until maybe they see you, you know, need a little help on a run, or not be able to read your rower or something like that. But yeah, I mean, you get along to the point where even when I'm coaching you, honestly, like I appreciate you reminding me too, because I'll forget. I just will. I'll just completely forget. I think you've just completely got, I'm like, oh shoot. Yeah. I got to get, I'm going to jump behind him and make sure I'm reading his meters off when he's getting close. Cause I just like, you know, I'll go into autopilot mode and just think, you know, where you're at. And, because, and that's a testament to how well you do in class. And, you know, I just will like, oh shoot. Yeah. Aaron can't see the clock. So he's going to need some help there.
And that's, well, I mean, that's been one of the greatest, I mean, the things about CrossFit for me is, that despite, you know, all this happening to me, that it's still been a space where I can feel able. And, yes, I do need help, you know, telling the meters or the, you know, cows on the rower or the bike, things like that. I need someone to run with me. And wall balls look a little different now, but for the most part, everything else has been the same. And it's been a space where I can come in and feel, you know, like I don't have a disability, which, you know, for me has been great. And also just a space where, you know, I joined here about a year ago and I have probably 40 people's numbers in my phone now, where a space and I can call or text any of them, you know, if it's snowing out or too hot, or I just don't feel like walking to the gym. Where I can, you know, I have friends now that I can call for rides. And so, you know, for me, CrossFit's, for me, better than like a 24-hour fitness type space where, you know, I can't imagine trying to navigate what that would look like, knowing what the machines are, you know, to be able to have a coach who can, you know, tell me my time or tell me these things or, you know, coach me up on different things like that. Just that personal experience that you get with CrossFit, especially for me, with someone with a disability, has been, you know, just a huge blessing to have found. I think the timing of it in relation to my sight loss was just kind of meant to be.
It's funny that you talked about when you were getting started, how your perception of it was negative. And I think overall with a lot of people, I remember thinking that before there were CrossFit gyms, because I found it through workout forums online. So that's how I discovered it. And everything that was written in these forums were like, you know, really negative about CrossFit. This is stupid, or, you know, whatever it was. And for some reason, I just kept kind of looking at it and getting into it. And then I was like, No, I'm watching like females do muscle ups and snatch weight that I knew I couldn't do at the time. And I had, you know, I was like, as stupid as this sounds to you guys, I don't know. This looks really cool to me. And I think I want to try this. And then once I did it, I was hooked, just like you said, immediately. But it's funny that like most people who hear about it from people who don't, it's not people who do it who are like, this is dumb or negative. It's people who see it and something about it makes them maybe feel insecure. I don't know, like, or I don't want to do that, so it's bad. But yeah.
So I have a lot of questions for you.
Oh yeah, okay. Please. Let's go.
So when you first got diagnosed, did you know there was a certain period of time you had until you lost your vision?
So when I initially got diagnosed, I mean, I was just at the point where driving was no longer safe. And, you know, I could still see enough to get around without a cane. I didn't start using a cane until I got diagnosed in July. I didn't start using a cane till January. But, I mean, I definitely should have started using one way earlier. I just didn't like the idea of showing the world that I, you know, was legally blind now. And so when I got the diagnosis, you know, the doctor said three things. He said it was this super rare hereditary disease, which had come from my mom's side, and which was really surprising to my dad and I, because we had never heard of this. It's asymptomatic, which means, you know, whether it shows up or not is completely random. And so technically both my brothers and my mom have the same gene that I do, but it may never present in any of them. We had never known about it in the family. It wasn't, you know, it was completely out of the blue for all of us. The second thing he shared was your question, was that I might go completely blind. And then the third thing was that there is no known cure. And, you know, that was, both of those last things were the hardest to hear, because I up until that point, you know, I'd been going through the whole diagnosis process, you know, getting the MRI, doing all the different testing, just, you know, with the belief, like anything else in my life, that, okay, we're going to figure out what this is. I'll get some medicine, whatever, then this will all be fixed. And then at that point, it was like hitting a brick wall. Like, no, that's not what's going to happen here.
So did you go through like special physical therapy to learn how to navigate, you know, just kind of getting around and spatial awareness and.
Yeah. So they have, programs, degrees called, orientation and mobility. And so, that's who taught me how to use, my white cane. And then also when I moved to Columbus, they, you can, through, I think the state, they have orientation and mobility specialists who, they taught me, when I lived at my old place, how to, get from my apartment to the bus stop to my office and, or to the next bus stop. And then that bus stop to my office. So, you know, teaching me how to navigate the world. Cause, you know, that's a whole thing. And, you know,
you're not learning that from the time you're a little kid, no, you know, like no. Where there's like a long progression for people yeah. who are born that way, you know, when they learn and they're, you know, very good at it. And you're a grown up when you're dealing with
and
this.
And then I also had to learn how to use a computer and a phone again, using what's called screen reading technology. And that was, you know, while getting a master's degree. So,
You finish up your master's degree?
I was able to finish. I would spend hours on the phone with my dad. He would read articles to me and I would tell him which quotes to pull out. And he would email all these quotes to me so I could write papers. I would send him the paper so he could do the whole citation page for me. You know, my parents were in Colorado while I was in Florida while all this was happening, which at the time was incredibly difficult for all of us. But in retrospect, I think was a huge blessing because it, didn't allow them to coddle me. And it really forced me to figure it out. And I think that's what's allowed me over the last 9 years to become the person that I am and someone who lives a mostly normal life, you know, besides driving.
And your hair looks perfect today. How do you do that?
I got a person. I travel solo all the time. I do CrossFit 5 days a week. I've hiked 3 14,000-foot mountains since this happened.
Cool. Which ones?
Pikes Peak.
I think you all were near there. Yeah,
Did you all do that one?
We did that one.
I've done Pikes Peak. I've done two others in Colorado.
What were the other ones?
Mount Princeton and Mount Elbert, Elbert's the highest one in Colorado. So that was my first one post sight loss, and it was super emotional up there. And
I can't imagine. Just like I would be so. Without seeing. Those trails are so narrow. I mean, you about lose it anyways when you get tired and
Pikes Peak
over.
Has the most defined trail of all those. On Princeton, I took quite the tumble that kind of put things in perspective of like, okay, Aaron, like maybe. It's okay to maybe take it down a notch and stick with more defined trails. Cause I went, did a somersault and almost went down the mountain on that one.
Oh my gosh. That's so scary.
Yeah. I'm going to keep it a little more defined, trail defined moving forward.
Well, that's so amazing. I mean, just breaking through those walls of fear. I can't imagine. So would you, do you memorize like the number of steps to get to certain places, like in your house? Is that how you work?
I mean, luckily for me, and you know, I everyone's who has sight loss or any kind of other disability, you know, has their own experience with that. Luckily for me, I do have enough sight to, similar at the CrossFit gym, be able to navigate it pretty seamlessly once I know it. You know, I recently just moved back in May to a new apartment that I could. So my dad came out for a week because moving for anyone is tough, but then moving for me is especially difficult because, you know, just. You know, getting all the stuff down and then put into place and then figuring out the new area. So, you know, figuring out where the trash is, figuring out where to take my guide dog out to go to the bathroom, figuring out where my mailbox is. And then on top of that, for me, I have these, we call them dots, but they're these things that you can put on things like the washer or the dishwasher, things like that, the stove, so that I know what to push to start the dryer.
Is it like Braille then for you?
Yeah. Okay. And honestly, one question I get pretty frequently is, do you know Braille? And I don't know any Braille, to be honest.
Because probably we're more advanced.
That's the thing. I always make the joke, maybe it's inappropriate, but that it's a great time to be blind. because with my phone and computer, I don't, there's never rarely need a time for me where I need, I feel like I wish I knew Braille.
So does your phone read back like text to you mm-hmm. then as you're putting it in? So you know if you make a mistake as well.
So anything I touch on the screen, it'll read back to me. With the computer, I don't use the screen or the mouse. It's all different keystrokes that I learned throughout that, you know, time, that year in graduate school, and then have continued to learn since. And
Really helped you that you had, I mean, just for communication daily that you did go through grad school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 2 years of typing, 20 page papers. And
luckily I'd been there a year before. So, you know, I knew I had a community there. The timing of it couldn't have been more perfect because I had friends there. I had, you know, the staff at Florida State, they all knew me. And if I had tried to start my first year like that, that would have been incredibly difficult. Or to start my first job after graduate school with all that going on would have been it would never have worked. Like, the timing was just perfect.
So did your site go from, did it degenerate into kind of like a, now more of a static state? Like it's just like how I'm hearing your story, it almost sounds like that a little bit.
Yeah. So it started in June of 2014. Yep. And then by like November of that year is kind of when it plateaued to where it is still to this day.
Okay. Man, that's fast.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. And you know, so I went back to graduate school in August, and you know, it was relatively high enough to where I was able to go, run with a friend without using a tether. And you know, when I went back for Thanksgiving in November, you know, I didn't think I'd be able to run again. And that's when my dad introduced me to the tether, which was, you know, a great blessing. And then I still use that to this day. And
what is the tether?
So it's a kind of a little rope. And so I hold one end and someone else, my guide, would hold the other end. And their role is really to kind of be my eyes. So make sure that, you know, we don't run into potholes, make sure that we're, you know, not running into the street. You know, if it gets narrow, they put the tether behind their back, and that's my cue to kind of get behind them. And honestly, one of the big blessings here, and I've even emailed Brandon about it, was I typically take the 3:30 class with Drake. And one of the huge blessings here has been, you know, with these running workouts, there's somewhere it is seamless to run with someone else in the class. But then there's others where when you're running is, and when others are running is so random.
Yeah.
And so for me, having Drake as a coach has been amazing because, he's always willing to jump in and run with me.
It's good to have a super fit coach like him, who's a semifinals athlete who can just get an extra workout in. For
yeah.
The day.
and you know, he doesn't have to do that. And so it's been this amazing blessing to just have someone who without, you know, blinking is just like, yep, I got you. You know, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a coach or an owner, when someone comes to you with, hey, this is, I can't see very well. Like, how are we going to make this work? So I don't know what that's like, but, I just know my experience.
You've made it pretty easy on us though. I mean, like I said, you handle yourself really well in class. You listen. So you're always moving, and I try to not, I'm a very showy coach. So I like to demonstrate. It's good for me to actually talk things through. I'm getting old and beat up. So like demonstrating everything all the time with my own body constantly without talking through it is something, if I want to last in this, is I got to do more of the talking part instead of like, okay, here's how we do a muscle up and, you know, and doing it ice cold. And so I got to talk through things more, and you being in my class helps me do that. Cause I'm like, okay, use your words a lot more now when we're talking through a snatch progression or whatever it is, just so he's moving with us. And I'm not just kind of talking, saying a word here or there and just doing it over and over again. So,
And what do you do for work now, Aaron?
Yeah, I work for OSU for the last 6 years. And it's kind of basically like an HR type of role. I do the hearings for sexual misconduct cases for the university. So not the most
that's heavy work. Yeah.
Happy work, but it's all remote, which has been a huge blessing because then I don't have to do the whole bus thing anymore. And you know, OSU's been really great with you know, accommodations and things like that. So that's been really amazing. And then, you know, just based on what Brandon was saying there, I think, you know, one thing I always try and tell coaches when I'm coming to a new space is just, you know, make sure that you're being as descriptive as possible, like with the warm up and stretching and stuff, because saying something like, okay, then put your leg like this, doesn't really help me at all. I'll turn to someone else in the class, be like, what are they doing? So that's, you know, that's one thing when I joined, I was like, hey, just, you know, the more descriptive you can be, the more helpful it is for me.
It helps coaches too. I know I'm starting to think about trying to get a level 4, which you have to be very, you have to hit all your marks and P's and Q's. So it's going to help me if I end up taking that plunge and trying out for that. So
I decided to get my L1 in May of 2014, and then my sight loss started in June. So that was a great investment. I was able to coach for a couple weeks when I got back to graduate school. But then the sight loss got, you know, to the point where it just didn't make sense for me or for the athlete. So I wasn't able to continue.
It would be challenging. You know, you'd have to have some different technology to, you know, just running the clock. Mm-hmm. Just the basic running the clock and hollering at people about the clock. That would be a challenge. It's something you were talking about, the tether, that was really cool. I just watched a video on the 100 meters in the Special Olympics where they're doing that. And the guys who carry the tethers have to be so fast because they have to be able to keep up with world-class athletes who are running just a balls out 100 meter dash with a tether. These guys are running like 11 second hundreds.
Yeah.
Straight on holding a tether with someone. I was just watching a video. I was like, oh man, it was really cool. Like the both ends, like the visually impaired and the guy holding the tether. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, they'd be dragging me while doing that. But man, your story's incredible, and I can't thank you enough for coming
really
and just telling your story. And I think it's going to, you know, help maybe inspire someone who listens, and maybe they have a disability and they it's kept them out of CrossFit and getting them back in it. Or, you know, or just help people who are around, like, really understand your situation, because you do such a good job with it, where they, you know, they might see an opportunity where, you know, you're kind of like, you know, lost, or a coach is like maybe forgetting something. Because, you know, I'll be the first to admit, occasionally, you know, I'll forget something, and if a member can jump in and help a little bit, that's always nice.
I do have a couple more questions, because this is something that really like piques my interest, especially you know, because it pertains to me a little bit too. My right eye is like never out of the question to like lose that vision, because the retina is attached. Have you ever experimented with stem cells or researched that at all as maybe a possible solution, like for gaining back your optic nerve function?
I to be completely honest, I have not looked into stem cells. I've heard about them on different podcasts, and you know, one thing that is partly kind of a unique part of my story is that during that first year in graduate school, that second year when I went back, my family had discovered a clinical trial that was happening at the University of Miami. And so, you know, part of me, when I went back to graduate school, thought that, you know, I'm just going to get enrolled in this study, and then I'll go down there, and then I'll get an injection, and this will all be done. You know, I kind of still was in that stage of denial. And, you know, I was able to somehow make it into the study. And then also I went down in, I think, maybe like September or October. And then they said, okay, we'll bring you back in a month, and then you'll get the injection. And I was like, okay, great. And I had convinced myself that once that happened, I'd get my sight back. Well,
and they injected your optic nerve, or where did they inject?
Well, November turned into December, December turned into January, and it just kept getting pushed back and back. And, you know, by April, the graduate school year was basically over. So it had kind of helped me continue getting through, but I was just kind of defeated by that point. I was like, you know what? I don't care about this study anymore. This is my life now. I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
So then 2 months later, I start my job at Virginia Tech, you know, thinking that this study's just not a thing anymore. And within my first week of working there, they call and say, hey, can you come down next week for an injection? And so I was like, okay, so I called my dad, and I told him, I said, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. I don't know if I want my sight back. And he was like, what? Like, what? Why
would you? Because you had made peace with it at that point.
Yeah, I was good. I was at acceptance.
It's tough to to gain hope again.
Yeah, and he said, sure. Well, why wouldn't you want it back? And I said, I like who I am now more than who I was before. And he said, well, you can still be that person with your sight. And I was like, okay, that's a good point. I went down June of 2015 and got an injection in one of my eyes. It was just a clinical trial. And then over the next 3 years, went back down to Miami 15 different times for different checkups. And I never had any increase in my sight after that.
What was the injection?
It was some kind of virus type injection that was supposed to target something in the that one mitochondria in the optic nerve that had atrophied.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone's heard of CRISPR, but that's like gene editing technology.
Yep.
And I'm of the belief that I think that with medical technology and CRISPR that there might be a chance for my sight to return in the future, but it's not something where I hold my breath and I pray every night that I'll get it back. I just don't think that's healthy.
Yep.
No, I mean, I agree. Even just with my left eye, I mean, it's something that Brandon and I discuss a lot, and it's really hard to even almost fight for it or try to mm-hmm. think about working through it, because it's almost like you have to live in a state of I'm not accepting mm-hmm. this. But I think, at least with my vision, I don't know if you've come to this point, but I really feel like everything happens for a reason.
Oh, totally. I mean, the people I've been able to meet, the experiences I've been able to have, and it's just, I think the timing of everything could not have been more intentional. And I've been, incredibly blessed throughout the last few years with everything that in the way that it's progressed. And like Brandon was saying, anyone who, hears this or is thinking about CrossFit, I think it's a great space where you can have a somewhat one-on-one experience where you're not having to pay, crazy money for personal coaching, but also getting a very personal experience. And that's been my experience the last 9 years.
And it's really neat that you are putting yourself out there with other people and compete. I mean, and I was just thinking it would have been probably a lot easier, more comfortable to have that one-on-one, but then you lose the whole community aspect and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just to feel that you can show up and still do what everyone else is doing is really cool.
Yeah. One thing at the gym is, if I've talked with you enough, I might have your voice down, but the majority of people I probably don't. And so, when I first joined this gym, I put up a Facebook post and just kind of introduced myself and said, it's definitely more helpful if you introduce yourself to me, because I don't know, facial recognition, even if I'm nose to nose with you is impossible. So I don't know who people are at the gym, but now I have Brandon's voice down. I've got, Drake's and all these other people's voices down where it's not an issue. But I think I ran into Coach Dave as I was walking in, and he said, "Hey, Aaron." I said, "Hey, who's that?" I don't have his voice down yet. So yeah. I was like, he's like, "Oh, it's Coach Dave."
Yeah. And do you have any goals right now? So what's the future hold for you, athletically, or do you have any challenges that you want to cross off?
That is a great question. And I wish I had some inspirational answer right now. I think I just, I think that's something I should probably put on paper and think about. I'm going to be doing another 14er next month. I'm going to be doing 10 days in Colorado.
That's one right there.
Yeah. There we go. That's a great goal.
You're you're downplaying that. Nothing at the time. I'm doing a 14er.
That's amazing.
We did that.
We trained for that.
Yeah, a year and a half ago.
I'm still feeling good about that. Yeah.
I've done a few CrossFit comps over the last few years. Did one with two guys from the gym here back in March, and that was awesome. We actually won that competition. That was pretty cool.
Awesome.
I'm going to be doing Mount Bierstadt next month. Yeah.
And where is that in Colorado?
That one is actually right outside Denver. And it's class one. So it's a pretty defined trail. And those are kind of the class trails I'm going to stick to from now on, just based on, if I had my site, I'd have no issue with class two, class three, but it just doesn't make sense now to put my life
my
at site risk.
And I
like
have
that.
Issues with class two and three. It's scary.
Yeah. I even started using hiking poles now. And luckily that one where I toppled over and almost went down the mountain was my first time ever wearing a helmet while hiking. My dad had just said, "Hey, you should wear this on the hike." And I was like, "Oh, that's a good idea." And luckily I had it, because I landed on my head. I think, someone's looking out for me up there.
Very cool.
Really neat.
Well, hey, I think that's a great place to leave it. And just for our time.
Perfect.
This has been awesome, man.
Well, thank you all for having me and for all the support at the gym.
Awesome.
You're amazing.